Lairdcast. Part 2. Doing the Sonar Cakewalk.
Hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Lairdcast with me, Brian.
And me, Lulu.
And today we're going to be talking about audio production software, and in particular a product manufactured by Cakewalk called Sonar. The version that we're reviewing is 8.5.
It's a great product, isn't it? It's usually used in the context of music. People talk about it used with music. They record music for digital downloads and stuff with it. I've never really realized that you could use it so well with audio production, the kind of work that we do. I'm really, really impressed with it.
It is brilliant software. There are two kinds of software typically used for audio production purposes. The first is a single track editor. Now, there are lots of examples of audio editors that are single track, and what that means is that you can record one item at a time, and while you can mix one on top of the other, it isn't really the kind of thing that we're talking about here, which is multi-track, and that's where you have each individual effect or speech component, musical instrument, whatever you like, on its own individual track. And then you can finally adjust those elements to make the final mix.
Yeah, it's much easier when you have everything on different tracks, especially the kind of thing that we do, because if you mixed everything on a single track and something was wrong, it means that the whole thing has to be remixed, readjusted, rebalanced, and basically done over from scratch, which takes that much more time. Using this kind of multi-track software, it just means that one track can be finely tuned so that absolutely everything is just right. And then at the end, the entire scene, say, or the entire project is mixed down again, and it just takes much, much less time and is much, much easier.
So the kind of things that you can adjust, apart from the volume level, would be whether the individual track or element is panned over to the left or the right. You can apply any one of a large number of presets to the individual element. You can listen to that particular track on its own to decide whether anything is wrong with it or not. You can edit parts out of it. You can insert silence. You can fade it. Any one of a number of different things you can apply to each track, which is absolutely wonderful.
It is. I mean, we've done things with this software that I don't think we could ever have done with even the most advanced audio editing single track recorder. We have got a good one, haven't we?
We have. We use SoundForge from Sony.
What we're going to be talking about today and showing you a little bit of is a podcast that we've recently released. For those of you who may not know, we release a series of podcasts called Bert's Place. That's what they are under in the iTunes store. You can also find them by going to www.hartchen.org/Bert Hartchen. That is Bert's page. Bert is a little character that Brian and I have been working with for, it must be getting over 2 years now, all in all. He used to start doing promotional work for our radio station and for other radio stations. He's actually grown from that into being a little rounded out character. He's a little leprechaun that people are interested in. That's just a little bit of background on him. This podcast, it was put together for my birthday, which I had recently, and it is the most elaborate piece of work we've ever done. And people have asked us about it, how we put it together, and also how to use Sonar in the context of audio production work, which is why we're putting this together. So we'll be talking a little bit about things from this podcast, won't we?
We will be doing. Before we get to that, let's talk a little about the accessibility of Sonar 8.5. We're using this with JAWS for Windows, and there are two solutions that potentially you could benefit from. The first is a free project, and it's called JSonar. And if you just do a Google search for that, you will be able to find it easy enough. It's open source, so anybody can contribute to it. And the philosophy that JSonar adopts is that it uses the keystrokes that Cakewalk have built into the product by design. Now, they may not be the most logical, but that's the stance that JSonar, as I understand it, takes. We're using, however, a product called Cake Talking. Now, this is developed by David Pinto, a very accomplished JAWS script developer, and it's sold by Dancing Dots at dancingdots.com. The two essential differences and why we went for Cake Talking would be, number one, there is a lot of help actually built into the product itself. So as you will hear, you're going to get very comprehensive instructions as to what to do in any given situation. The second reason why you might want Cake Talking is because there is a 400-page tutorial which goes with it. And since multi-track recording software was something that was new to us, we thought that we really needed that helping hand in order to actually really understand it. So that's why we went for Cake Talking, and that's the essential differences between the two. So the first thing to do, I think, would be to play the scene that we're going to be talking about, at least one of the main scenes, wouldn't it be?
Yes, yes. I think this scene gave us the most trouble. It was the most complex to get right, and it turned out to be, personally, my favourite scene in the whole podcast. This podcast is a weave of truth and fantastical fiction. Brian had to be away on my birthday, which was on Friday the 9th of November, and so Bert the Leprechaun and his girlfriend Teely the Elf decided that they were going to take me somewhere to make up for the fact that I had to spend my birthday alone. They're so sweet. So they basically took me away to a magical garden, and we had a wonderful day out. So this is what this podcast is about. So what you're going to hear is a scene from the podcast where I'm riding on a unicorn and we're going through this wonderful magical garden of everlasting peace.
Where are we now, do you think? We've come out of the trees.
This is just open meadow again with a path running through it, but there's another garden up ahead.
Listen, can you hear something? This must be the fountain that the garden keeper mentioned. Yay! We're that much closer to the singing flowers.
This fountain is worth stopping for, Elle. It's said on the website that a mermaid lived in the fountain pool.
Oh, come off it, Bert. I don't believe in mermaids.
Lulu, this is our world you're in now. You probably didn't believe in talking birds and baby unicorns that you could ride on either. Here we are. Oh, how beautiful. Just look at all those flowers. And the fruit trees, too. This is a lovely garden. I wish they hadn't said we weren't to touch the plants. I could just eat some of those strawberries. They look delicious.
You don't need to pick them, honey. Use your eyes. Behind you.
Oh, wow! What a lovely-looking table. Oh, even I couldn't make a spread that gorgeous. Is it for us, do you think?
I don't know for sure, but I think it's for anyone who comes into this garden. Shall I fill one of those jugs with water from the pool? I suppose that's what they're for.
Ew! Would it be all dirty?
Lulu! You're forgetting where you are. If they're offering us this water, you can be sure it's safe to drink.
Oh, give me the jug, Bert. Can I fill it?
Okay then. Here. Elle, the mermaid is coming. Keep very still.
How lovely! Look at her hair! It's all the colours of the rainbow. Silver tail.
What should I do? What does she want?
Stay still. I think she's just curious about us.
She's so beautiful. Oh, I wish I could go in there and swim with her.
I wouldn't. Elle, she's holding out her hand to you. Reach your hand out and down. Yes, it is. Come on, let's sit down here and eat. I bet we've still got a long way to go.
Oh, yes, honestly.
But I'm hungry.
You said earlier that it took us a while to get this scene right. It was probably the most troublesome. Why do you think that was?
Well, there are so many elements, really, aren't there? I mean, we have to have... We had so many sound effects there. A lot of that story, you had a lot of dialogue there, lots and lots of the script took me an age to write, an age to get right, you know, because there was a lot of descriptiveness. And I didn't, I know this might sound odd, I know that I am blind, but I didn't want to sound too blind. It's a very fine balance.
So in view of that, what you have to do is you obviously have to make the script sound as if there's not too much description going on. What we're trying to do here is to paint a picture using sound rather than
using
speech.
Using sound and a bit of description. So,
as a typical example of that, when the mermaid is in front of you,
I wanted you to be able to concentrate on actually listening to the sounds and actually feeling as if you were there, and actually finding all those sound effects did take a lot of time. That's part of my job. Part of Ryan's job is actually doing the technical work of getting the audio paint on the audio canvas, shall we say. My job is do the writing, get the sound effects right. It's an incredibly complex task. Once you've got the sound effects there, you have to get everything at exactly the right volume. If the birds are too loud, they drown the fountain. If the fountain's too loud, it drowns the mermaid. If the unicorn's hooves are too loud, it's distracting. If the ambience is too loud, you can't hear the speech. It's got to be so finely balanced, you would not believe.
And there are two fountains in that piece,
aren't there? There are.
And what we wanted to achieve was, for the second fountain, when the mermaid is appearing, when she's swimming up, at the same time, the second fountain, it has to be
right in your face.
That's right.
And it took a long time to get it as loud as I wanted, without drowning the speech. That's a lovely fountain effect. It took me a long time to find exactly the right sound that I wanted. I had to look in lots of places. And that was a lovely fountain. I didn't want you to mishearing it, because it sounds so nice. I wanted it to be right in your face, that fountain, but not so loud that it would drown everything. So it took a lot of balancing.
Just going back to the mermaid, when Bert is saying, reach your hand out and down, we needed to have the effect of the mermaid coming out of the water.
Water, yes.
That's what we were referring to when we said there is a fine balance between speech and effects, because we didn't want to say in speech, oh, the mermaid is coming out of the water now. You needed to hear that,
yes.
And imagine exactly what was happening.
Mm.
So what I'm going to do as a first off, before we start talking about adjusting volumes and so on, I'm going to demonstrate some of the effects that sonar can do. I'm going to build part of scene 7 from scratch. The actual final project had 14 tracks on it. Now, if we were going to do that, this podcast would be very long. So I'm just going to demonstrate a little bit of it and some of the things that you can do. So the first thing I'm going to do is to launch Sonar.
Sonar 8.5, producer X64. Welcome to Sonar 8.5.3.282 with the Cape Talking 8.5 scripts. Remember, after you are done loading your project, always press F6. Now, please wait until you hear that the screen has settled down. JAWS control surface ready. Sonar 8.5 producer Sonar 1 track. Sonar 1 track. Track pain. Master bus.
Okay, so already you're getting help right from the get-go. I've got an empty project template in front of me, so I'm going to insert a new track. I'm not going to get into describing all the different keystrokes, because there are a lot of them. I'm just going through the principles of it.
Insert track into empty template dialog. List 1, list view 1. Insert an audio track, 1 of 2.
Okay, insert an audio track, that's what we want to do.
Insert an audio track.
Now we have to press F6.
Please wait. Refresh and configure the track pane. Track 1, name column, press enter to edit.
It's very important when you have a large project that you name all of your tracks, because otherwise you won't know where you are. And when you see the final project, which we're going to load very shortly, the one we actually distributed for this scene, you will see that all the tracks are named. So I'm going to press enter.
Track 1, type and text.
And I'm going to call this First Garden. And press enter again.
First Garden.
Okay, because what happens is that you have a garden effect first, because it's a kind of overspill, an overlap from the previous scene. And what they're doing is they're going from one garden into another, the garden of the fountain. So now I need to import some audio into this track. And I have all my audio files in a folder. So I'm going to do that now.
Menu, file menu, new dot dot, audio dot dot dot, A, leaving menus, import audio dialog.
And it's asking me for the path of the audio file, which I'm just going to type
C
in.
Nick, folder, the first garden dot mp3.
And there's a file here called the first garden dot mp3. I'm going to press enter on that.
Importing audio stream dialog, importing audio stream, 10%, 30, 61, 72, 83, 93, 99. Sonar 1 star track, first garden.
Okay, now if I press the space bar, we should hear that.
Play.
And there it is. I'll press the space bar.
Stop and return to beginning.
Okay, and we're back at the beginning again. There is a keystroke to pause it, which we will need in a moment. There is another effect that we need alongside this, which is the unicorn walking. Okay, so I'm going to create another track now.
Insert, delete, move, or hide slash unhide.
We need a down arrow.
Two. Insert an audio track at the bottom of the track pane.
Okay, I like my tracks in logical order so that they are in a logical order pertaining to the individual scene that we're creating. So I'm going to press enter now.
Insert an audio track at bottom. Now press F6. Please wait. Refresh and configure the track pane. Track 2, name column. Press enter to edit. Track 2, type and text.
And this is going to be Unicorn Walking, because later on in the project, he's moving. Yeah. He's not actually doing a steady walk. Mm. We need to differentiate between the two.
Mm. Unicorn Walking.
Okay. Now let's import that audio. And again, that needs to come at the beginning, so that's all right.
Menu. Audio dot dot dot. A. Leaving menus. Import audio. Folder. The first garden. Scene 7. Scene 7. Scene 7. Unicorn Steady Walk. Dot wav.
Unicorn okay. Steady Walk. That's it.
Sonar 1 star track. Unicorn Walking.
I'm going to play a bit of it.
Play.
So you can hear both tracks there. Now, stop, which track are we on?
Track name is Unicorn Walking.
Now, if I just want to hear the unicorn...
Solo track 2.
I can solo that particular track.
Play.
So we can just hear that now. And that might be useful stop. When you come around to cutting something, and I'm going to demonstrate that a little later.
Did you hear how much the balance was wrong? Those birds were way too loud.
The balance is way wrong. I'll unsolo that now so we get the full picture.
Unsolo track 2.
The speech wants to start a little way into the project, the first part of speech. So we'll make sure we're at the beginning.
Rewind the beginning.
Okay, and we'll start playing.
Play.
Yes, a unicorn's way down there, isn't it?
Yes.
So we want it to be about there, I would say. Mm-hmm. That will be enough of a pause. So we're going to insert a new track.
Insert, delete, move, 2. Insert an audio track at the bottom of the track pane. Insert an audio track at bottom. Now press F6. Please wait. Refresh and configure the track pane. Track 3, name column.
This is going to be speech part 1, because I have several parts of speech, depending upon which part of the scene that we're in.
Speech part 1.
And I'll just import that.
Menu, audio dot dot dot, A, leaving menus, scene 7 part 1 dot wav. Sonar 1 star track, speech part 1.
Where are we now, do you think? We've come out of the trees.
This is just open meadow again, with the path running through it. But there's another garden up ahead.
Now, stop. Note it says there is another garden up ahead. This means that we need to fade down the first garden. That's enough of that. And we need to go into a second garden that we haven't yet imported. So what I need to do to achieve this is I need to go back to the first garden track.
Unicorn walking up first garden audio track 1.
And here we are. Let's just go back a little bit here.
R6, play.
R6. But there's another garden up ahead.
Now that's got to fade down. We have to give it enough time. That should be about right. So we want to delete from here on this track right to the end of it. That's enough. So I'm going to select from here to the end on just this track.
Selected track 1 from now to end. Unselected other tracks.
And I'm going to delete that. Now, with single track editors, they have straightforward copy, paste, and delete options. So the moment you hit delete, for example, or you do a control C or a control V, that's it. That's the job done. Now, with Sonar, because there are so many things that you could potentially delete, you could delete a segment of it, or you could delete the whole part of the selection. All of these things have dialogues associated with them. So I'm going to go into the delete dialogue.
Delete dialogue, events and tracks.
Okay, and I want to find the checkbox called delete whole.
Delete whole checkbox not checked, alt plus D.
Okay, and I'm going to check that.
Checked, okay button. Sonar 1 star track, track pane.
And now I'm going to go back to the beginning.
Rewind the beginning, play.
Where are we now, do you think? We've come out of the trees.
This is just open meadow again, with the path running through it. But there's another garden up ahead.
I'll just pause it there, and then I'll just play on a tiny bit.
Wait.
And you'll hear that has now gone. Okay, but the unicorn is still there, which is exactly what we want. I'm going to press space.
Stop and return to bar 5, beat 3, take 441.
Bar 5, beat 3 is where we were. You have to understand a little bit about musical notation in order to get a real sense of where you are. So we want to fade from here now to the end of that garden, because we're going to crossfade it later. So I'm going to set a marker here.
Set from time to now time at bar 5, beat 3, take 441.
And I'm going to play on.
Play.
That's where the garden stops, so I'll set an end marker there.
Set through time to now time at bar 7, beat 2, take 923.
And I'm going to select between those two markers.
Selected track 1 between from and through unselected other tracks. Selected from bar 5, beat 3, take 441, through bar 7, beat 2, take 923.
I'll now go into the audio menu.
Menu, process menu, audio submet, remove.
And I want fade.
Leave in menus, track pane, linear fade out.
Linear fade out.
Sonar 1 star track, first garden.
Okay, let's go back a bit.
Bar 7, bar 5, play.
But there's another garden up ahead.
And it's nicely faded out. Okay, so what we would do now, if we were going to continue on with that, is we would insert another track with the second garden ambience, which would crossfade, and we would obviously fade that track in. So that's how you would get a nice blend.
So cool, isn't it?
It is really, really cool. There's one more thing that I'd just like to show you before we go on to adjusting volume parameters and so on, and that is how you might do audio scrubbing. You can delete very fine segments of individual tracks. And I've got a little sample here of what we might consider doing. So I'm going to go back to the beginning.
Rewind the beginning.
And I'm going to come down to the speech track.
Unicorn walking audio track, speech part 1, audio track 3.
That's the one I want. And I'm going to solo that so that we're not disturbed by anything else that's going on here.
Solo track 3.
And I'm going to play that from the beginning.
Play.
And you'll notice a silence at the beginning, and that would be right.
Where are we now, do you think? We've come out of the trees.
Now, stop. You'll notice that L, that's the character that has that double speech processed, she takes a breath after the word think. Now, if we wanted, for example, to delete that and make it a bit tighter, we could do. We actually didn't in the original project, but this is just a sample of what could be done. So I'm going to go back to the beginning again.
Rewind the beginning. Play.
Where are we now, do you think?
I've paused it after the word think, as close as I can be. So I'm now going to set a marker there.
Set from time to now time at bar 3, beat 1, take 841.
And I need to play and pause very quickly in order to get to the next word.
Weave. Stop.
And there's the word weave. Now I'm going to turn on the scrubbing mode here. Okay, and I need to come back a little bit. Okay, you can hear where the breath is. If I move over, it's a bit like using a reel-to-reel tape recorder. Okay, I think that's the start of the word weave. So I'm going to turn the audio scrubbing off.
Scrub off.
And I'm going to set my end marker at that point.
Set through time to now time at bar 3, B2, take 183.
And I'm going to select between those two points.
Selected track 3 between from and through unselected other tracks.
Okay, and I'm going to go into the delete dialogue where we've been before.
Delete dialogue, events and tracks, track slash bus, tempo change, meter slash, markers check, delete all checkbox checked, okay button. Sonar 1 star track, track pane.
Okay, and I'm going to go back.
Rewind the beginning, play.
Where are we now, do you think? We've come out of the trees.
And it's done it, actually. So
yay.
That was very tight. It's not a perfect edit, and it's one that I wouldn't pass in our production.
I was going to say. You wouldn't have that. You can hear it.
You can hear it. Okay, it's not natural enough, really. And the reason it's important when you're audio editing and producing, the reason that I didn't do that in the project was because you have to take natural breaths.
Yes.
A lot of people, they do edit too tightly. Mm. And people, they do breathe when they talk. So you have to allow for that and you have to make that happen. So what we'll do now is we'll actually go to the original project that we produced and we'll have a look at what happens when you adjust volumes. And this is something that Lulu was describing earlier on about the very fine sound balance that we have to adopt. So I'm just going to close this project down.
Sonar 8.
And we're not going to save it.
Open dialog.
I'm going to go back into all my cakewalk projects.
Name, folder view list, birthday scene 6. Birthday scene 7. Scene.
And birthday scene 7 is the one that we're looking for.
Birthday scene 7. CWP track pane, louder fountain.
Okay.
Please wait.
Just press F6 just so things get adjusted.
Reflection configure the track pane, louder fountain, name column, press enter to edit.
Okay, and here we have all the audio tracks in the project.
Mermaid approaching, audio track 10. Mermaid in focus, audio track 11.
All right, so let's go through this a little bit. Let's skip forward, shall we, until we get to the mermaid scene. Elle,
yes.
Do you think we should do
course.
That?
Yes, of course. Yeah,
okay. So let's go through this
forward
bit here.
Forward 10 to bar 20.
Forward 10 to bar 31.
I think probably about that.
Forward 10 to bar 41.
There we go. That's about where we are. Mm. Now,
go about bar 36.
Yeah,
37
or so.
Yeah.
Bar 41. Bar 37. Wait.
Can I feel it?
Okay then. Here.
Now that's that second fountain that we were talking about. Now if we have a look at that fountain, you'll see that we brought it up very loud. Let's find that particular track.
Mermaid approaching. Louder fountain. Audio track 9.
That's louder fountain. Notice I've got them all in order here. Now the volume level.
Volume is 4.0 dB.
Is actually 4.0. Now that has potential to have clipping associated with it because zero is the ideal.
Ideal. Yeah.
Anything a minus value is going to be quieter. But obviously we're whacking up the volume way loud here because. A fountain, it isn't going to be clipped at all. You're not going to notice that particularly.
No.
But you want it to be, as Elle described it earlier, very much in your face. You want to know that it's there. Mm. Now, what I'm going to do is just drop the volume down to perhaps where we had it originally, which was about -3, something like that. And you might be able to hear the difference. So let me do that.
If you drop it down to -3, you certainly will.
Okay. Let's do that.
4.0, type of text.
Okay, so -3.
Birthday scene 7.CWP star track. Volume is -3.0.
Okay, we'll back up a bit.
Bar 37, please.
Can I feel it?
Okay then, here.
Elle, the mermaid is coming. Keep very still.
So it's not as noticeable there by any means. Let's just adjust it back to what it was.
Volume is -3.0. -3. Volume is 4.0.
Just so we can compare it.
Bar 40. Bar 38, please.
Now, that's much better, isn't it? That's much more noticeable. And again, particularly in this scene, because you have the mermaid swimming up, she's approaching, you have her in focus, you have her handing the pearl to Elle, and then you have her swimming away. All those elements are on separate tracks.
Yes, they are.
So that we could adjust them.
The one that you have to be careful with is when the mermaid was swimming about, because Teely gets all awestruck and whispers there. It's difficult if you have the mermaid too loud, Teely's whisper gets drowned, and if you have her too soft, you can't hear her over the fountain.
That's right, because there is a very quiet part when she's just there swimming about a little bit. You can't hear her that well, actually, can you?
No.
Till she starts swimming away again.
Mm-mm. So it was, you know, it took a lot of tries to get it right. But because we have all these things on individual tracks, it was just a case of typing in values and listening until we got it right, not of doing endless time-consuming remixes. It's just so good.
Apart from being able to solo individual tracks so that you can hear it, which does help as well, you can adjust those individually as you are listening to them in real time. So if you want to turn up the volume, you don't have to use values that are typed into edit boxes. You can actually use keys which raise or lower the volume levels of individual tracks as well, so that you can actually listen to them and then get a better idea of the overall balance, which is really cool.
Oh, didn't know that. That's cool.
You can do
Very.
That. Yeah, yeah. One other thing that we ought to talk about that we made great use of, didn't we, Elle? And this was something called V-Vocal.
I don't... I'm sure we couldn't have done this if we didn't have Sonar.
No.
We really couldn't. One of my ideas... I've always had a thing about... When I was a little girl, I saw a film called The Singing Ringing Tree. And I was fixated on what this singing ringing tree was going to sound like when it actually sang and rang. And what it did sound like was it was just a glockenspiel solo. And I thought, no, that was ringing all right, but it didn't sing. What would it sound like if it had really sung? So when I was actually writing this piece, I thought, right, singing flowers. Let's have a garden where singing flowers from the moon grow. And the flowers only sing if they like you. But they don't like everyone. It's got to be something really special that would make a flower.
And when you told me about this, I loved the idea of it. I didn't know what they were going to sound like, but I loved the thought of it. I thought it was great.
I knew roughly what I would want them to sound like. A harmonic chord that would have what I would call a crunchy chord harmony. And I had an idea in my head. We had some help from a very talented vocalist who did some of the main vocal work. And then we used this V vocal. And Brian gave me some sample sounds. I remember the one sample you gave me, the actual song was too fast. And I said, no, that's not right. It needs to be slower. And you said, no, it won't work. And I said, it will. You slow it down and see. And then you said, oh, gosh, I've gone all shivery. Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember that. Because there are a number of effects that were applied to this vocal audio. The first was that we pitched it up. Because an adult singing is not a flower singing. So you have to have it high-pitched. I mean, that's fairly obvious. Mm. The next thing we had to do was to time stretch it. In other words, make it last a lot longer than it was doing. We had to apply a wow effect to it because we wanted it to sort of go
ethereal.
Wow, wow.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
But not too much, because I remember once you put someone and it kind of went meow.
Yeah,
meow,
that wasn't
meow.
Right. Yeah, it sounded like the beginning of the Human League's Love Action. It wasn't it wasn't good at all. But also there was some reverb, plenty of reverb.
Lots of reverb, so that, because at one point a leprechaun says, when the flowers sing, their voices fill all the gardens.
That's right.
And that was a big place. It took them all day to get to the singing flowers.
That's right. So it had to, particularly when everyone stops talking and listens to the singing flowers, the sound had to swell. It had to, you had to have the image of the flowers filling the whole garden. Mm. But the other thing that we did was we used V vocal. And this is a part of Sonar which is accessible using Cake Talking. And the idea is that you can change the notes of any sample audio that you have. So if you have a concept of music, and you probably do have to have that in order to get the harmonies correct and to make a tune out of this, you can adjust individual notes to what you want. So as a very basic example, if you had somebody singing and they had sung an F sharp, for example, and you wanted to make it an F, you could easily do that. It's not auto-tune. It is possible to get auto-tune, and I would love to have it. And that is, I believe, partially accessible with Sonar. You can get an auto-tune plugin for that. But what this is designed to do is to manually fix small selections. But if you have enough patience and enough time, then you can create something which is really good. Because as Lulu said, we had this vocal talent from Johanna that had been used, and we had one or two other samples too. And I was able to make this tune of the singing flowers just using V vocal.
So we're about done here?
I think so.
How about we finish this podcast by letting the flowers sing?
Great idea.
So this is Lulu.
And I'm Brian.
And goodbye from this edition of Laircast. You've been listening to Laircast, presented by Brian Harton and Lulu Wells. To learn more about us, visit www.harton.org. The music for this podcast was composed by André Louis. Visit www.andrelouis.com.